Somebody say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
I thank God for his goodness and his mercy. I thank the Lord for being with us, seeing us through. And I thank the Lord for Emmanuel and just kind of giving them grace. And it looks like now that we're rolling along with that. So I thank God for moving on our behalf because the Lord really stepped in.
Yes, he did.
Gave the people a mind. You know, God uses people. You can say the Lord really stepped in, the Lord really moved. And you know, there's a certain amount of when the Bible says give honor to whom honor is due, there's a certain amount of mention and a time to say that someone helped and someone did this and everything. And it's worthy because both Ella Jenkins' contractor and her architect showed up, and the lady from across the street came in and did a testimony for her before the magistrate, and really the Lord really moved on her behalf. Where we get off at it is that we want to give honor to people who don't deserve honor.
Amen.
And we just keep honoring them and honoring them and honoring them and honoring them and honoring them. Hey, look, when you do something greater than God,
yes,
your name deserves to be mentioned.
Yes.
But, you know, because you did something greater than God 50 years ago, we need you to be doing something great now.
Yes.
And we'll mention your name now.
Yes.
But I thank God for the people who did come, and God stepped in because he gave them a mind to come, and they came, and they were honest. That was God, too.
Yes.
None of them were casting blame on anybody. Everybody owned up to their portion into whatever was going on. And really, the Lord just touched the magistrate's heart, the way I see it. I mean, he gave Ella Jenkins favor, and he just treated her so much differently than he did the lady before her. It was like day and night.
Yeah.
If you couldn't see God in that, you can't. You're not able to see God at all.
Amen.
If you had seen his reaction to the people before her, and his reaction to her, you would have said, "My Lord, you know what happened here? Is this the same person?" But it's God.
Amen.
I thank God tonight for his goodness and his mercy. I want to look at a couple of scriptures tonight, and I won't be long. I want to look at one in 1 John. First John, if I can find it, and I promise not to be long tonight. I pray the Lord touched the man's hand. Sean was away here earlier, but then they had to leave because he was not feeling well. We prayed for him, so I'm praying the Lord will give him a touch in his body. He's got a little bit of temperature. It just came on him all of a sudden. But you know how that is. So I'm looking at if I can find my where I'm supposed to be here. let's see what I'm looking for here. Bible tonight. So give me a moment. I promise you I won't be long. 1 John 5 and 14. That's what I want. Yeah. 1 John 5 and 14. And this is the confidence that we have in him. The confidence that we have in God. The faith that we have in God. That if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. This is the faith we have in God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hear us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Now, what I'm looking at tonight is the point of asking God in faith according to his will. I'm looking at us doing the will of God. And being found in the will of God. In James, he talks about in one verse, he says that we should not do anything, but we should say, if the Lord will, we will go to it. I want to look at that one too. It's in James. And look at that one real quick. It's probably in James. And I was talking about it the other day, so maybe someone here in Proverbs can find it. It's where he says in here that we should say, if the Lord wills, we will do this and that. And he's talking about doing business in particular. And let's see if I see it. I know it's in here. I want to say while I'm looking at it, it's 4:15. Yeah, I was just coming up on it. I want to say that I'm glad that the Lord kept Ella Latham on her trip going and coming, and I'm glad the Lord brought her back safely, and I praise God for her and her kids and all her cheering. And I thank God for the Lord carrying Ella Russell and Sister Russell and bringing them back safely. And I'm glad Sister Russell's feeling much better and Ella Russell's enjoying his retirement. So thank God for that. Now, let's look at James. And James 4:15, it says, 14. Let's look at 14. Whereas ye know not what, 13. Go to now, ye that say tomorrow, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morning, for what is your life? It is a vapor that appeareth for a little while and then vanisheth away. For ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or do that. If the Lord will. So I want to look at tonight. I'm going to go to Numbers and look at somebody that we talk about all the time. I'm going to talk about Balaam for a moment. Want to say this about Balaam, and I'll tell you where I'm going with this tonight, so I won't be long. I want everyone to be, for us to always be very careful, especially among young people. We're old now. I'm in my 70s. Everybody else in here is in their 70s and 60s. We're getting to be older. But as we preach to young people, and I'm hoping that we are preaching and preparing ourselves and preparing young people, not just preaching to ourselves, you have to be careful, because by the time you get to be as old as I am, you have been out of the will of God many, many times.
Yes.
And you can look at your successes or lack thereof, and you can blame them on anything you want to blame them on. You can blame them on situations or circumstances. But you have to turn around and point the finger at yourself. If you're preaching that there's nothing too hard for God, and with God all things are possible, and if you're encouraging people like I encourage them, then I really believe that God can work out anything.
Yes.
And I also truly believe that no one can stop you in God but you.
Yes.
And when you come to, you'll have many, just like I was saying earlier with going before the magistrate with Ella Jenkins, with Emmanuel. She had witnesses on her behalf. People came in on her behalf.
Yes.
And people can be for you. And by the same token, and when they do that, it's God. It's the doing
yes,
of God.
Yes, it's the doing of God.
And by the same token, you can have many people come into your life to hold you up.
Yes.
The devil himself will hold you up and do like he did Daniel and everyone else. But Daniel is also an example. You can't use him too much, because when you see the devil withholding Daniel's answer to his prayer, you also see God stepping in and fixing it anyway.
Yes.
He doesn't let the devil stop him at all.
Yeah.
So when we're looking at ourselves and our successes or our lack thereof, however it goes in God, it really comes down to the relationship that you have between you and God.
Yeah.
And I don't have a great long list of, I have friends in the church world whose churches are much bigger than Promise has ever been. They have a lot more success in God than I've had. And I look at Herman Hicks. He was the pastor of the year in McConnell, Kansas for a while. And look at all the people who've gone out since I've gone out. And almost all the people that I know that have gone out over the years, they're all very successful. Don't let anybody fool you and say, well, all these people went out and did, and dying. They just dying on the vine. I know everybody I know that went out is doing very well.
Well, yes.
They are. And I was thinking my mom's coming to service tonight. I said, every person I know who's gone out and really stayed in God and went on God, they're doing very well. Matter of fact, they're doing better now than they were when they left.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know a single one who's not.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is when it really comes down to it, since we know that God, when he says, how can he not with him also, talking about Jesus, give us all things, we have to look at our relationship with God for our successes and our failures.
Yes.
That's what it really comes down to. And whether or not we were in the will of God, or where we were in God, or how we allowed the things to work in God, and we would need to encourage young people, listen, you can have more success than me if you stay in the will of God more.
Right.
And don't get caught off in this thing or that thing or what looks nice over here. Don't be like the crows, follow after every shiny object, every sound, everything that jingles, if it's bright and shiny, crows are drawn to it.
Right.
Don't be like that. Stay in the will of God. It might not always look like it's the will of God. You have to be like Jesus in the garden. It's going to be a hard night, but stay in the will of God. The resurrection will come.
Yeah, amen.
It might be a difficult 3 days, next 3 days, but after the third day, you're going to rise again.
Yeah,
just stay in the will of God.
Yes.
Make sure that what you're doing and what you're planning is in the will of God. And when you read about Balaam in Numbers, and people talk about Balaam, and Balaam is the son of Beor, and he's an Edomite, or in other words, he's from Edom, and those are the people who are from Esau and whatever, but they're Abraham's lineage.
Yes, yes.
And Balaam is someone who, even though he's not in Israel, Balaam is a prophet of God. Say, well, how do you know Balaam's a prophet of God? And people debate this because the Bible says that he is.
Yes.
It says that he got a word from God.
Oh,
Balaam talked to God. And if you have a Dakes, you can go through the whole thing. If this was a seminar and I had 2 hours, I'd take you through all of it. But he talks to God and God talks to him.
Mm-hmm.
And Balaam, if I was to look at it, Balaam likes money. But it's more than that. When we look at it and we say, well, Balaam got thrown off because he liked money. Well, if a person doesn't like money, they will say to themselves, well, I'm never going to be a Balaam. But let's just say Balaam got caught up in the lust of the world.
Yes.
Whatever it is in the world that you're pursuing.
Yeah.
And I'm not even sure, Elder Russell, Elder Latham, I'm not even sure that when Balaam got caught up in what he was doing, that he ever planned on going as far off as he went.
Mm-hmm.
You know how we have all the young people who are pursuing jobs, and they're in their 30-somethings, 40-somethings, and I've already been there, done that, and I know the ups and downs of it. You say, well, you're in the military, it's easy. No, the earth is the earth. It doesn't matter which path you choose. God is there, and the devil is too. And you have to be mindful of God no matter which way you go, and and the Lord will keep you no matter what you do. But I want to encourage everyone, you have to, but I would have, and most of the people I know in my age group, if someone had told us, you really need to lock in on the will of God.
Yeah.
You really need to study the Word of God, not just for the sake of saying you read your Bible, or not just for the sake of praying. But I wish someone had told me 20 years ago that I really, really needed to be concerned not so much about someone else following the will of God and me following them. I should have been concerned about me following the will of God myself.
Yes.
Because being around someone who's sick, just because they're sick, you don't have to get sick with them.
Yeah.
You can avoid that. And I really wish that I had learned some of the fundamentals and a lot of things that I try and teach now. And I'm not teaching to a big audience, obviously. I guess it's kind of late in my ministry to try to do it. But I wish someone had taught me not so much about the traditions and customs of doing things. And I wish they had taught me the why.
Yes.
And the how.
Yes. Why and how.
Not just made it be a law that I live holy, but I wish someone had really taught me the spirit of holiness and many churches do, and we're some of the biggest people who really talk against them, and we wonder why they have large congregations and things. It's because they've learned to sit down and spend time with people and not just tell them not just say you better do this, but to explain to them why they need to do it. And how God works in it. And one of the things that God works in is he works according to John. John says, You can have what you want as long as you will do them according to the will of God.
Yes.
James says that if you're going to do anything, what you need to do is you need to say, if it is the Lord's will, I will do this.
Yes.
And I will go this way and I will buy and sell. It's the will of God. We need to inquire, even when other people, I looked at two lessons for the last couple of weeks. One of them was Balaam and the other one was a young prophet that the old prophet told to come back. On both occasions, one was led off by an evil person. One was led off by a person they thought was good. And on both occasions, they were led off because of someone who was not in the will of God.
Yeah, yes,
that's true.
Yeah,
even though one of them was an old prophet, and the Bible didn't say he wasn't a prophet. He was an old prophet. He led off the young prophet.
Yeah.
And then Balaam was led off because he was following an idolater. But either way, whether it was good or evil, both of them were led off by people who were not in the will of God.
Yeah.
And they, for whatever reason, yielded to them, and a not so great end. Balaam was lost completely. The young prophet, his ministry came to an end. But I'm pretty sure he found favor with God as far as being saved. But when we look at Balaam, you need to know that Balaam was a prophet of God, and not only so, but God used Balaam and spoke through Balaam. Which meant that you can have some shortcomings and some flaws, and you can have some things in your desires and in your mind that you haven't been set free from, and yet you can be close enough to God and live holy enough in God so that God will use you.
Yeah, that's true.
It doesn't mean that you're perfect as far as perfect goes. But you're holy enough and you're close enough to God that God will use you. God can confirm you and God can work through you. And maybe, you know, for some of us, maybe we're not as holy as we think we are. Maybe that's where the gap is. But here's Balaam that God uses, and he has a reputation for speaking for God. So much so that even the idolatrous kings and all of them know that he speaks for God. Now, this is something you need to know. Apparently, from Balaam's life, Balaam has a reputation for speaking for God, but Balaam also has a reputation for loving money. Otherwise, they wouldn't have sent for him.
Yeah.
He has, you know, when you're walking on your job and in your life, you can be someone who people will know. They say, well, he goes to church, he's religious, he's spiritual. She goes to church, she's religious, she's spiritual. But they also know your little shortcomings, too. They'll say, but she does cuss every now and then.
Oh, wow. Yes.
You know, and they don't say you're not saved, and they don't say you're not godly. They'll say, well, you know, but she does let a little something slip every now and then.
Yes.
And or they'll say, you know, well, you know, he's a great brother, you know, but you know what? He got a temper on him. God needs to do something. Or they'll say, well, you know, she seems like a great woman of God, but she's kind of not very sensitive towards people. She's kind of cold.
Yes.
They'll know your reputation in God, but they also know what your shortcomings are, and so does the devil.
Yeah.
And so this man sends for Balaam, and Balaam has this reputation for obeying God. And let me see if I can just see where it starts. Look at about verse number 4.
What book?
I'm sorry, Numbers chapter 22. My mistake. Numbers chapter 22. And I don't want to read all this, but I'll tell you most of it, because like I said, this is Just a word tonight, and not a seminar. About verse 4. Where I'm gonna start this? Well, I gotta start too. And Balak the son of Zippor saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites. In other words, you know, when you read in Psalm how they had overtaken Sion and the Amorites and Og of Bashan. Balak saw all that they had done. So you know that that Balaam is in Moses' time. He's there with them. And Moab was so afraid of the people because there were many, and Moab was distressed because of the children of Israel. And Moab said unto the elders of Midian, now shall this company lick up all that are around us, and as an ox licking up the grass of the field. And Balak, the son of Zippor, was king of the Moabites at that time. And he sent messengers, therefore, unto Balaam, the son of Beor of Pethor, which is by the river of the land of the children of his people, to call him, saying, behold, there is a people come out of Egypt. Behold, they cover the face of the earth, and they abide over against me. Come now, therefore, I pray thee, curse this people, for they are too many for me. Peradventure I shall prevail, that we may smite them, that I might drive them out of the land, for I want what he, that he whom thou blessest is, I know, that's what the word means, that he whom thou blessest is blessed, and whom he thou cursest is cursed. Now, it could be because the children of Israel are coming out of Egypt at this time, and Balaam is not one of them, because he's not in captivity in Egypt. This, which is something else you need to know. There were people who were still serving God who were not all captive in Egypt.
Yeah.
And Balaam is one of them. Mm-hmm. And it could be that Balak also doesn't realize that they're related. But for whatever reason, he says, I know one thing. When you bless people, they're blessed. And when you curse them, they're cursed. I know that. And the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with rewards of divination. In other words, they're going to pay him in order to do, you know, to go down divination, you know, to divine. In other words, soothsayers and you know, sorcerers and all those. Well, they're going to pay him for it, because like Simon the Sorcerer in the New Testament, they got payment for doing it. California psychics get paid for it today.
Mm-hmm.
And they came unto Balaam and spake unto him the words of Balak. And he said unto them, lodge here this night, and I will bring you word again, as the Lord shall speak to me. And the princes of Moab abode with Balaam. And God, didn't say a God, but God, came unto Balaam and said, what men are these with thee? And Balaam said unto God, because we always know that when God comes and asks you, what are you doing? God already knows what you are doing.
Yes.
God is seeing where your heart is and how you're going to come before God. When God asks Balaam, what men are these? He knows who they are.
Yes.
He wants to see what Balaam's, in other words, he's saying, Balaam, what's going on here? And Balaam said unto God, Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, has sent unto me, saying, behold, there's a people come out of Egypt, which cover the face of the earth. Come down and curse me them. Peradventure I shall be able to overcome them and drive them out. And God said unto Balaam, thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. So maybe at this point in time, this is the first time Balaam realized these people are God's people.
Yeah.
And God lets him know, these people are my people. And so he says unto him, and Balaam rose up in the morning and said to the princes of Balak, get into your land, and the Lord refuses to give me any to go with you. And the princes roll up, and then they go, and then they sin again at 15. They sin yet again and offer him more money, and ask him to go again. And Balaam answered and said to the servants of Balak, if Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God, do more or less. Do you see how honorable he is in the beginning?
Yes.
I can't do this, because the Lord says no. And when young people start out, especially in careers and in college, and all, they have every intention of always being in God. When all of us start out in our ministries and we start out in the way we were going, we had every intention of always being in God.
Yes.
I remember 25, 30 years ago when we were first coming in, and when many of the people who are much older now, people were so in love with God. I have watched during the years as people they haven't left God, but they don't love God like they used to. And I'm not talking about this in general, and I'm not talking about people outside the Church of Living God. Their focus is not on God like it was when I first came in here. Their hearts are not turned towards the people like they were when I first came in here. Their motives are not as pure as they were then. And at this time, Balaam is resisting. He's saying, hey, you know, doesn't matter what you offer me, I'm not going to go against God. And God came unto Balaam at night and said unto him, if the men call on thee, rise up and go with them. But yet the word which I shall say unto thee, thou shalt do. He says, pray, you know, I tarry here tonight, that I may know what the Lord will say to me more. And God came to Balaam at night and said to him, if the men come to thee, rise up and go with them. But yet the word of the Lord which I shall say unto thee, that do. And Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his ass and went with the princes of Moab. So Balaam says to them, he doesn't dismiss him. He says, well, let me ask God again. You know, let me see if there's some way. And this is when we start going into danger. Let me see if there's some way that I can be kind of on the edge and be in God at the same time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
let me see if I can join, you know, this group of people and kind of skirt around and still be in God. Let me see if I can, you know, maybe, you know, not pray as much or come to church as much. Let me see if I can kind of work things out because I really want to do this. I really want to do this. Let me see if I can fit it into God's will. You know, it's not quite fitting, but let me make it fit. Mm-hmm. Let me explain to God how, you know, I really have to, you know, you can get involved in college, you can get involved in classes and courses and all those things, but you still have to guard where you are in God.
Yeah.
You can get involved in careers and things, and you have to be careful about how you let your career, what sort of person your career causes you to be. I can say with all honesty, the military never stopped me from being in God. That if there's one thing that has slowed me down in God, it sure wasn't that.
Amen.
I never drank with them. I never partied with them. When the Lord saved me, I stopped all that. I didn't, and I worked around people who could use profanity all day long, and yet I never used any. Never had the urge to. Didn't slip not one time. I mean, you said, well, you slipped something, not one time. Didn't go off on them. Didn't, you know. That's one thing I can say, you know, maybe, you know, maybe God has some art with me, but it sure wasn't in that regard. Not that I know of. And so people can get busy and, you know, if we look at Jesus and he's always our example, in Jesus, everybody say Jesus.
In Jesus.
You see every temptation of the world. He was tempted at all points like as we are. We say that, but you don't get it. Jesus was tempted in his career.
Yeah.
He was tempted by his brothers and sisters and his family to stop doing it.
Yeah.
He was tempted by his mother to stop doing it. He was tempted by the church to stop doing it.
Yeah.
He was tempted by the sinners to stop doing it. He was tempted directly by the devil to stop doing it. Everything that we go through, we say, well, you know, when we talk about don't let your family pull you out, then you say we're cultish. But the devil doesn't care who causes you not to be in God, and your family doesn't come telling you not to be in God, and your family doesn't necessarily plan to pull you out of God.
Yeah, that's right.
But you allow them to.
Yeah.
It's not their intent. I'm gonna get you out of God. No, they don't come doing that.
Yeah.
You give place. You know, you allow yourself to not be where you're supposed to be in God. We do that. We allow different things to take place in our lives. We don't commit to the Lord like we're supposed to. And we don't stay completely to his will like we should. We allow ourselves to have a temperament that's not befitting of a person who's in God. We allow ourselves to have a soul life that doesn't come up to par and is not equal with holiness. We allow that.
Yes.
We do that. We hold on to the way that we are. Mm-hmm. And we don't seek to know God. And then we find a comfort zone, don't we? Yes, we do. We find a groove.
Yeah.
We find a groove. You know, you get into a church where, you know, if I could say anything to young people, I would pray the Promise would be a good church if people would ever come here again. But I would pray that the people never lose sight of being in the will of God and start trying to follow Promise on auto. I hope I'm the best pastor they could ever have, but I'm hoping they always know. But I'm really, as Paul says, follow me as I follow God.
Yeah.
We kind of get off on that too. I'm following Paul. He's following God. That's not what he's saying. Follow God like I'm following him.
Yes.
That's his point.
Yeah. Yes.
And I'm hoping that they'll never lose sight. As a matter of fact, if I'm living and I get the opportunity, I'm going to encourage them. Hey, look, I want to be the world's greatest pastor, but don't ever forget who we're following. Never lose sight that it is the will of God. Don't ever use me as a benchmark in that regard. Be very careful that what I'm doing is, you know, if you're going to do something I'm doing, make sure that what I'm doing is the will of God, too.
Amen.
And don't just get out there and do it because you saw, well, he can do it. He can. No. Balaam has these people that Balak is offering him all of this money if he will go speak a word against them, because he knows that who Balaam curses, they're cursed. But these are God's people, and Balaam's problem is, Ella Russell, he finds out, you know, he's God's messenger, and as it looks, This is the first time Balaam is finding out this is something that he wants to do that God is not in favor of.
Yeah.
You know, you may go down the road for a lot of things, and a lot of things will happen, and the Lord will be in favor of your career, be in favor of your job, and the Lord Jesus, and everything's going. And then finally, the Lord sees that there is something that's riding in on your career. There's a job that's being offered. There's a direction you want to go. There's money being given. There's different things that are coming into your life. And the Lord can see that way down the road, this is not going to be good. And the Lord will say to you, now I went along with you having, you know, with your career in the military and everything, but now that you're out, or I went along with this, or I went along with that, or whatever it may be. And there are many things. He says, I went along with that because, you know, but I can see now the direction this is going. You were, you know, I can see that you had to work on Sundays and I was in favor of that, you know, or you had to do whatever. He says, but now you got to the point where you really don't mind not being in church on Sunday at all.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
Yes.
I could see how, you know, during the week when you were studying everything, you weren't in Bible study, you weren't praying because you were working your career. But you know what? Now you've got around to a point where you really don't feel like prayer is necessary.
Yeah.
Now you've got around to a point where if you come to church, you come because it's convenient. If you don't, you really don't worry about it anymore.
Yeah.
You're not convicted about it anymore.
Yeah.
And I can see, and he says, I can see that what needs to happen is I kind of need to stop you from getting this little blessing because you're pulling away.
Yeah.
And your blessings will start to dry up because God is trying to keep you where you are. So Balaam gets up, and the Lord says to him, well, if you're going to go with them, you're going to have to live godly. If they come back tomorrow, you're going to go, but you're going to have to live godly.
Yeah.
That's because the Lord says, if you go, you're going to still say what I say today.
Yes.
You know, it isn't one of these things where somebody says one time, I heard people try to say many times that when you backslide, you keep your anointing, or you keep your, you backslide, but you continue in your anointing. I don't believe that.
No.
Nick even says that to some degree. I think you probably keep on prophesying, but you just have a different spirit. And at this time, Balaam doesn't have a different spirit.
Yeah.
And he jumps up. But you know what? The problem is, Ella Smith, and Balaam rose up in the morning and sat his ass and went with the prince of the Moab. Balaam got too excited about it. He liked it so much it bothered God.
Yeah.
And God was angry because he went, and the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now he was riding his ass, and his two servants were with him, and the ass saw the angel standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand, and the ass turned to its side out of the way and went out into a field, and Balaam smote the ass and turned her in the way. And he goes on. Finally, down to about number 28, and the Lord opened the mouth of the ass, and she said to Balaam, what have I done unto thee that thou hast smitten me these three times? And Balaam said unto the ass, because you mocked me, and there were a sword in my hand, now I would kill you. And the ass said to Balaam, am I not thine ass, upon which thou hast ridden ever since I was thine unto this day? Was I ever wont to do so unto thee? And he said, nay. Then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand, and he bowed down his head and fell flat on his face. In other words, what I see in that, Elder Smith, is when Balaam is going down the street, and the two things. One of them is that Balaam can't see that God doesn't really want him to go down here. Yeah. He sees that Balaam has the wrong mind.
Mm-hmm.
By the time Balaam gets up and gets ready to go, God can see, okay, he's got the wrong mind. And he's trying to stop him.
Yeah.
Trying to stop him. Sometimes when things are in our way and they're trying to stop us, it's not the devil trying to stop you, it's God.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't the devil standing in your way, it is God. And then the other thing I see, Elder Smith, is when Balaam's eyes open and he sees the angel of the Lord, which is God, standing there with his sword drawn, the Lord is saying to Balaam, the way that you're going is a way of death.
Yes.
Yep.
The way that you're going, I'm not here to kill you right now, but the way you're going is a way of death. And God will come sometimes and say to you, well, what you're doing, you won't die from it right now, but if you keep on going the way you're going, you're going to lose out. things are not going to work right. And then you find out, I'm getting long now, then you find out when you read it, you need to read it. Balaam goes down there, and three times he does try to go along with Balak. But Balaam, being a man of God, it's kind of like for the young people. It's like when you're in college and you're in an environment, or you're young in the workplace, you're in an environment, and there's the social life and the Christmas parties and the New Year's parties and the Thanksgiving parties and the graduation parties and the this's and the that's and the social life. And even if they are parties, they don't have to be big parties. But you meet people, and there's a social life, and there's a lunch, and there's a dinner, and there are all these things going on. And in the back of your mind, you're saying to yourself, but I got to stay godly.
Yeah, yeah.
But you're not dealing with godly people.
No.
And they're not, and they've already let you know, they're not going to be godly.
God, yeah.
Balak let Balaam know from the very beginning, I'm not going to be godly. Matter of fact, I don't like God's people.
Yeah.
As soon as he found out that the people that Balak wanted him to be against were God's people, he should have not liked Balak.
Yeah, that's right.
But he's going to try and fit in anyway.
Yeah.
And make his money. He's going to fit in anyway. You know, we're just going to fit in. I look at young people. I look at my son, I look at my daughter, I look at young people all over, and I look at the people that they know in their lives, and I'm concerned that some of them know an awful lot of people that they don't bring to church.
Yeah.
And it's not an arguing point, it's a soul-searching point.
Yes.
Where am I with these people who know that I'm supposed to be godly, but they're not godly, and they don't have any desire to be godly?
Yeah.
It's a point of, and some of them, I'm not saying they're all of them are, because some of the people they know probably go to other churches, they probably are godly. So I'm not putting everybody in the mold, if you don't come to this church, you can't possibly be godly. I'm not saying that.
No.
But for everybody who has all this great big social life, it doesn't matter whether it's military or whatever it is, but you have this huge social life, and you love being counted among these people and identifying with them, but you have to be very careful, because Balaam is going down here, and he's got this man offering up. This man is offering up sacrifices and doing all sorts of things for him to hear from God and go to curse these people. And these are God's people. And Balaam knows this.
Yeah.
And Balaam could have pulled the plug and said, "You know what? Sorry, but these are God's people. I belong to God." Which is, you remember, some years ago, and I'm almost done, I told the young teenagers that when they go to school or when they're in their environments, when they're in the young environments and things, they have to make a confession and just be honest with people and say to them, "Hey, look, I don't do that because I love God."
Yes.
I don't, whatever it is, instead of trying to skirt the issue and get around it and say, "Well, you know, my mom doesn't want me to, or I'm not ready for it, and I'm too young for sex," or whatever. All these. No, just be honest and say, "You know what? I'm trying to go to heaven."
Yes.
And are you a preacher? No, I'm not a preacher. I'm just doing the best I can trying to go to heaven, and I don't mind being your friend, but I can't be out of God.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And Balaam, you know, goes along with Balak three different times. He actually goes up there, and Balaam knows. This is the point. This is the thing, Ellis Smith. Balaam is allowing Balak to be his confederate, for lack of a better term. He's allied to him for this money. He's hired him. And Balaam already knows that he can't say anything other than what God gives him.
Yeah.
And he, you know, instead of just being, you know, and he's you know, he keeps saying to him, "Hey, look, you know, I can't curse these people." This, you know, he should have called it off.
Yeah.
Because
should have went home, yeah.
Although he doesn't curse Israel this time, as he goes on back home, the devil does get him around to a little point where he feels like he can be satisfied with cursing Israel. Mm-hmm. And he teaches Balak what to do. And he tells Balak, "Well, let him marry your women." And this causes Israel to fall. Mm-hmm. And for that little bit, for that information, Balak pays Balaam. In other words, he finally gets around to, he doesn't have to curse him, because God said, "I can't curse him." You know how it is?
Yeah.
When you don't want to tell the truth, but you you don't want to lie, but you don't want to tell the truth. So you figure out how you can say something other than it being true.
Yeah.
And you can get around it, and you know, and do all the little things. You know why God is. But, you know, you've still been misleading and you've still been wrong. And so Balak knows, you know, he's planning on, you know, people say, well, he just backslid. Well, not immediately. And this is what I'm getting at with the young people. You're not planning on not being in God.
Yeah.
You're not planning on, you know, denying the Holy One.
Yeah.
You're not planning on not going to heaven. You don't plan to stop trying to live right. You know, that's not in your plan.
Yeah.
He wasn't, Balak was going down there, meet these people. God told him before he left, say what I say. And when he went down there, he's planning on doing that.
Yes, yes.
Maybe I can get the money and maybe he'll give me the money if I just try. You know, maybe I'll be all right. And we have all the young people who will come into our churches. They're not planning on leaving the Lord when they go to college. Not all of them do, but they don't. They're not planning on, you know, maybe I can be in a sorority or fraternity and still be in God, you know, because like now there are a lot of people, you know, they'll say, well, you know, all the other people in there, they go to church too, and they all do all this, and you know, and I'll leave that where it is. But it's the same thing on jobs. You're not, you know, I need three jobs. To keep my house. No, what you need is one job from God.
Yes, yes.
You're not planning on not being in God. Yes. I know a brother that we've got, but I'm almost finished now. He was in D.C. area. Paula knows him. And the brother, when we were in Germany, that brother was, he was with me. We were together all the time. He was one of the most faithful people there. But when he got to D.C. area, he got a job. Then he got another job. Then he got another job.
Yes.
And he was never in church anymore because he was always working.
Yes.
And he never claimed that he was leaving the Lord. And it wasn't an issue of not, you know, but his initials are CG and he loved money.
Yes.
And he would work. He was a security guard at Penny's. He was a janitor over here. He was all, and would pay tithes and do all, but he, you know, you just work yourself out of God.
Yes.
You know, you just get around to, you know, and you keep making excuses to God of why you can't be in service to God. Well, I've got to do this and I've got to. But you forget that God is a provider.
Yes.
And you forget that God will give, you know, seed to the sower.
Yes.
And the Lord will bring you through. But you just got to do this. It's like the people who are in God who have to lie. You don't have to lie. Stop doing what you're lying about.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, just stop doing what you're lying about. And you don't have to lie anymore. And you don't have to make excuses and go before God and be honest with God. And say, Lord, you know, I just have a hard time forgiving people. And ask God, come in and work this out with me and do what you need to do. And for all the young people, we need to encourage them. You know, you need to be careful about, you know, which direction you go, because you're starting off and on your mind, I'm only going to say what God tells me to say. This is what Balaam has in his mind. I'm only going to say what you tell me to say. And then God stops him at this last time. And he throws up the red flag. Have you ever been getting ready to do something and you weren't comfortable doing it, but you were doing it anyway, and all of a sudden the Holy Ghost just like threw up a red flag and said, stop!
Yeah.
And you had to make a decision right there. And you make up your mind, because I've done it so many times. You make up your mind. You know what? The Lord ain't in that. I'm going to stop that. The Lord ain't in it. Until you wake up the next morning and convince yourself to go on. And Balaam, when this angel appeared in the road, it was a red flag. Stop!
Yeah.
And yet he convinced himself, well, you know, I'm just going to say what the Lord says. And he went on. And did he do that? Yeah. He just said what the Lord said. Say. But you know what didn't change? Ella Smith, he didn't change his mind about that money. The problem was the draw. What was drawing him? The trial was not cursing Israel, because God wasn't going to let him do that anyway. Balaam's trial was that money.
Yeah.
Your trial is whatever draws you away from God. Yeah. That's what takes you out of the will of God.
Yes.
It might be money. It might be fame. It might be love of worship. It might be self-actualization. You just love your job. It might be this. It might be family. It might be, you name it. But it's a problem if it takes you out of the will of God. If you're willing to skirt on the very edge of the will of God in order to do it, it will get you in the end. If the Lord can't stop you because you'll go so far, and the Lord will step in and he'll say to you, this is destroying you. Mm-hmm. And maybe it wasn't destroying you in the very beginning, but it is now.
It is now. It's killing you.
It is now. I want to encourage all the young people. Don't let your education stop you from being in God. If you knew that you needed to pray and you knew you needed to read your Bible and you knew you need to be in church and you knew you need to worship. When I say in church, I mean in the fellowship with the saints and the assembly. If you knew you were supposed to do that when you were younger and you came up and you believed in the Word of God, believe God, believe in heaven, you need to take a close inspection and see if you still do.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
Along the way, something along the way has you've said to yourself, I'm still going to heaven. But something else has moved in.
Yeah.
Balaam is saying, I'm still going to obey God, but something else has moved in. Balak, he has, in other words, for everybody, he has a new friend.
Yeah.
You need to be careful and see if you have a new friend.
Yeah.
One that's not telling you, you can't say what God says, say, just do what I want done.
Yeah.
He has a new friend. I'm not telling you you can't go to church. I ain't got a problem with church. My mom always went to church, but I don't think church is everything. You have a new friend.
Yes.
A family that says to you, hey, you ain't got to be going all the time. You have a new friend.
Yeah.
And that friend will pull you out of God.
Mm-hmm.
He will take you, he, she, them, they, it, whatever it is, will take you out of the will of God. And once you get out of the will of God, if God can't draw you back in, when Balaam gets up and goes, everybody standing, he's already out of the will of God because God has told him from the very beginning. Balaam's mind should have been made up not to go when God first said to him, these are my people. His mind should have never even entertained a second round. But he's looking for a way that he can be on the edge and still make that money. And many of us, we're not careful. You're looking for a way you can be on the edge with God and still do whatever it is you want to do. You can't be in the will of God and out of the will of God at the same time. You are either in the will of God or you're not. And so what we need to ask God, when we're doing all things, Lord, am I in your will? And then the second thing we need to say to God is, Lord, if I'm not in your will, show me how to get back in the will of God. Lead me in the way everlasting. Search me, David wrote, and know my way. Try me and know my thoughts, I think he said. And if you find in me any evil way, lead me in the way everlasting. And that is exactly what he's saying. Lord, if I'm out of your will, show me how to get back in it so that I can have everlasting life.
Yes.
Let's pray. Father, we come before you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy. And Father, tonight, Lord, we ask you, Lord, to lead us and guide us in the way that you would have us to go, according to your will, O God. According to your way. And Lord, if we have gotten out of the way, and Lord, in any way that we have gotten out of the way, Lord, I pray, Lord, you bring us back, O Lord. Lord, stand before us and stop us, O God. Lord, and don't let us get to the point, Lord, where we are beyond the point of no return. Lord, turn us around. Lord, show us the will of God. Give us a mind to obey God. And Lord, strengthen us with might by your Spirit, because sometimes, oh Lord, if we've gone so far, it's difficult to turn around. But Lord, it's not more difficult than the power of God. Lord, we have faith in you. Lord, I pray, Lord, renew within us a right spirit. Lord, wash us and cleanse us.
Yes.
Lord, I pray, Lord, stir up the gift that's in us.
Yes.
Lord, I pray, Lord, give us a mind to stir up our pure minds. And in every way we've gone out of the way, Lord, lead us back, oh God.
Yes.
In the name of the Lord Jesus. For everything we've done, Lord, Lord, that we now find okay, that we knew was wrong to do, Lord. If it was wrong to do when we first got saved, Lord, it's wrong to do now.
Yes, sir.
Lord, we glorify your name. Lord, remind us of when we were first illuminated.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, how you washed us and cleansed us. And Lord, of how you gave us, how we were pure in thought to the extent that we were able. And how our motives were right and our hearts were right. And Lord, I pray, Lord, for every way that we've learned that is not like you, Lord. For every way that we've learned, Lord, Balaam learned another way.
Yes.
Lord, for every way that we've learned, it's not like you, Lord, deliver us. Return us to where we were, oh God. Lord, we are willing to be turned around.
Yes.
Lord, the Lord sought to turn the man around.
Yes.
And yet he went on. Oh, Lord, let us not be like that.
Yes, Father, help me.
In Jesus' name. Lord, when you come to turn us around, Lord, give us a mind to turn.
Yes.
Lord, that we would be in the will of God. But Lord, wherever, in whichever direction your will goes, Lord, that's the way that we need to go. And Lord, we'll give you the glory and the honor and the praise. Lord, heal all the sick tonight. Lord, everyone. Lord, remember Ella Tiangelo Rogers, Ella Paulette Harrison. Lord, I thank you so much for touching Ella Benita Russell.
Yes.
Lord, I pray, Lord, touch Ella Deborah Sewell. Lord,
yes.
Remember Timaeus tonight. Lord, I pray.
Yes.
Lord, calm his. Lord, loose him from that fever, oh God.
Yes.
In Jesus' name. Lord, bless Sister Nancy tonight.
Yes.
Lord, I pray, Lord, give her a miracle. Lord, she needs perfect soundness, Lord, in
yes.
so many places in her mortal body. Lord, touch her by your spirit, and Lord, give life to her mortal body, oh God. Strengthen her with might by your spirit in Jesus' name. And all those that are sick in any way, Elder Smith, me, and all of us who have conditions of aging and whatever, Lord, keep us to the day of Jesus Christ. Watch over us, oh God, in Jesus' name. And Lord, we'll glorify you and give you all the honor, all the praise. Lord, touch Elder Jenkins in her joints, and Lord, in whatever ailment she has, oh God, Lord, move on her behalf, oh God. Lord, quicken her steps, O Lord, and strengthen her as she prepares to go back in this church, O God, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, turn our hearts, our minds, our souls, our understanding, our emotion, our spirit towards you. In every way, O Lord, that we would do the will of God. And Lord, we'll give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the people of God say amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Thank God for all of you tonight. Praise the Lord. Bless you real good. It's good to see everybody. Next week.